3, and I'm going to call case number 25027. This is an application of ConocoPhillips Company for an order approving the operation of enhanced recovery operations in the West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit, Stark County. All interested parties, please come forward.
My name is Andrew John Morrison, P.O. Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing this matter on behalf of ConocoPhillips Company. This is a request relating to the West Dickinson Lodgepole and the Dickinson Lodgepole units in Stark County. It's a request relating to the further operations of West Dickinson Lodgepole. We're going to have 3 witnesses testify today with a possible 4th if some questions come up. Thomas Porter will testify as to land. Aya L. Attar will testify on geology, and Sergei Svartskov will testify on engineering matters, and Mr. Porter is the first witness.
Mr. Porter, do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
I do.
Thank you.
Thomas, would you state your name, tell us by whom you're employed and what capacity, and also give us your business address, please?
My name is Thomas Porter. I'm an associate landman for ConocoPhillips, and I've worked in this capacity since June of 2014. My office location is 600 North Erie Access, Houston, Texas, 77079.
And have you previously had an opportunity to testify for the commission as an expert witness and have your qualifications accepted?
No, I have not.
Can you briefly review your educational professional background in petroleum land work?
Yes. As stated earlier, I worked as an associate landman for ConocoPhillips since June of 2014. Prior to that, I attended the University of Tulsa and graduated in May of 2014 with a Bachelor's of Science degree in Energy Management and Finance.
And are you familiar with the West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit and the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit located in Stark County, North Dakota?
I am.
And ConocoPhillips is the operator of both of those units, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you prepared some land exhibits you're going to use in your testimony, is that also correct?
Yes, sir.
I'll offer the further testimony. This witnesses have an expert in land matters.
Motion granted.
Thomas, let's go to exhibit 1.1 and tell us what you're showing on 1.1, please.
Exhibit 1.1 is a locator map that shows the Dickinson and West Dickinson Lodgepole Field as designated by the North Dakota Industrial Commission, which are outlined in blue. Outlined in purple is the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit. In June of 1994, the Commission approved order number 6861, allowing Conoco Incorporated, now ConocoPhillips Company, to unitize, operate, and further develop the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit through a plan of operation providing for the injection of water and or other substances in the common source of supply. Likewise, outlined in green is the West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit, which was approved in October of 1997 by the Commission for order number 8092, allowing ConocoPhillips Company to unitize, operate, and further develop the unit through a plan of providing for the injection of water and or other substances in the common source of supply.
Let's go on to exhibit 1.2 and tell us what you're showing on 1.2, please.
Exhibit 1.2 is a zoomed in locator map showing the producing wells, active injector wells, and inactive injector wells in the Dickinson and West Dickinson Lodgepole units. The Dickinson Lodgepole unit outlined in purple consists of 2 producing wells, the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit 74 and the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit 75. In addition, there are 2 active injector wells, the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit 79 and the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit 83. The West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit outlined in green consists of 2 producing wells, the Cotterbaugh 36-1 and the Frenzel 36-2. In addition, there is 1 inactive injector well, the Karski 35-2. In June of 2013, the Karski ceased injection due to a technical failure and was plugged and abandoned in December of 2014.
Okay, let's continue on to the next exhibit, exhibit 1.6, and tell us what you're showing on 1.6.
This exhibit shows ConocoPhillips ownership in both the West Dickinson and Dickinson Lodgepole Unit. The West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit consists of 950 gross acres. ConocoPhillips has approximately a 0.7371 or 73.71% working interest and the 0.6351 or 63.51% net revenue interest. The Dickinson Lodge unit consists of 1,436.45 gross acres. Conoco Phillips has a 0.7584 or 75.84% working interest, and a 0.6143 or 61.43% net revenue interest.
I don't believe I have any further questions of the line witness at this time.
Any questions from the staff?
Thomas, this is Bruce Hicks. The well that was the Kursky 35-2 that you indicated was plugged. What was the problem with that well?
For that question, I will refer to our engineering witness to answer.
Okay, and that was the only injection well for the West Dickinson Lodge Bowl unit, correct?
That is correct.
And are you going to get into any type of agreements that the unit might allow for injection in one unit versus the other?
No, that is not planned for today's hearing. We are currently in discussion with our working interest owners. And are considering various different scenarios and are working to make a decision internally.
Okay, thank you.
So Thomas, just to follow up, this is Lynn Helms. I'm not looking for any details of the agreements, but do the unit operating agreements of these two units provide for lease line injection or cooperative injection agreements between the units?
Really not.
Will the commission have to approve modified unit operating agreements or unit agreements?
Maybe I should jump in here. I mean, we don't think you will. There are some discussions going on with some working interest owners in the unit. Really what it comes down to is a unit expense and how that unit expense is borne and how it's approved. It probably is allowed under the existing unit operating agreements without any further agreement between the parties, but what it is how you undertake additional operations in the unit. But that's what ConocoPhillips is working out with the other working interest owners. So it's not for certain that there will actually be an agreement. I mean, it may just be that ConocoPhillips does it, and there are some charges going back and forth, but that's to be worked out in the future.
So, John, you think it can be worked out between the two units? If it's not, that's the case where the commission would end up potentially resolved?
I suppose if you had an issue where you had a standoff between working interest owners and ConocoPhillips couldn't satisfy itself that the operation was prevented under the current unit operating agreement and it couldn't get the concurrence it needed from other owners, it could come back to the commission, ask for a modification of the unit operating agreements, but that would require amendment of the units, which has a lot of other baggage along with it. And likewise, other unit working interest owners, if they thought that Conoco was doing something that wasn't allowed by the unit operating agreements, would have an ability to either bring that before the commission or before a court. There's kind of two tracks. I mean, one track is a regulatory approval to get the regulatory agency, the commission, to recognize that injection into Dickinson Lodge Pole constitutes pressure support in West Dickinson. Number two is the contract approval and whatever is necessary to get the approvals between the parties. And you know, we think in the first instance that should be done outside the purview of the commission. If it can't be done voluntarily outside the purview, the commission might get brought into it. But we think that's unlikely.
So what you're looking for today is commission approval of the concept of pressure support by injection in one unit,
correct?
Increasing recovery from the other.
Correct.
Mr. Alatar, are you on the line?
Ms.
Alatar.
Yeah.
Alatar, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, the oath first.
Do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
I do.
Thank you.
Aya, would you state your name, and why don't you just for the record spell both your first name and your last name, please?
Yes, my first name is Aya, spelled A-Y-A. My last name is L-F-R-E-L-A-T-T-A-R.
And can you tell us by whom you're employed and what capacity?
I'm employed by ConocoPhillips Company as a geologist, and our address is 600 North Erie, Ashford, Houston, Texas, 77079.
And have you previously testified for the commission as an expert witness and had your qualifications accepted?
I have not.
Can you briefly review for the commission your educational professional background in petroleum geology?
Yes. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in geology from the American University of Beirut and a Master's degree in geological sciences from the University of Colorado Boulder. I've been, since graduating, working and employed by ConocoPhillips. And since then, I've held an operations geology position in the Bakken team, as well as an implementation geology role in the Williston area.
And you prepared some geologic exhibits you're going to sponsor today, is that correct?
That is correct.
I'll offer the further testimony with witnesses. I'm an expert.
Motion granted.
Aya, let's go to Exhibit 2 and tell us what you're showing on Exhibit 2, please.
So Exhibit 2 is a structural west-to-east cross-section of the mounds in the Dickinson area. The walls of this cross-section are located within the COP-operated unit, the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit, and the West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit. The location of the cross-section, as you can see, is located at the bottom right of the exhibit. So the cross-section is going from Section 35 in Township 140 North, 97 West, to Section 32 in Township 140 North and Range 96 West. For scale, as indicated, the subsea depth charts on both sides of the cross-section, and you can see them as referred to by the track. I do not use a horizontal scale on this cross-section, and therefore the distance between the wells is equal and is not representative of actual distances. On the top of the cross-section and between the log tracks, you can see the actual distances that are indicated in the mileage. If you look at individual wells, the leftmost track is the gamma ray track, and I scale it from 0 to 150 API numbers. The reservoir that we are talking about today is in the lodgepole and characterized by clean or low gamma ray and ranging between 0 to 10 API. It's easily identifiable in all wells. The top of the mound, or the top of the low gamma ray signature, is indicated by a solid red line, whereas the base of the mound is shown by the yellow dotted line. The next track in the log track is the resistivity. We have deep and shallow resistivity logs, and they're displayed in a log scale from 0.1 to 1,000 ohmmeters. The final log track is displaying the calculated water saturation and scaled from 0 to 1. Using the calculated water saturation, we can easily detect the oil-water contact in each of these wells. And I've indicated that with a dashed blue line, and it's indicated by the OWC, which is oil-water contact. The resistivity logs also sometimes can indicate this contact, but for this purpose, I'm using the salt water, the water saturation log. The range of the oil-water contact depth is between -10 to 64 to -10 to 62 sub-CTVD in the West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit, and it's ranging between 10 to 70 to 10 to 57 sub-CTVD in Dickinson Lodgepole Unit. I'd like to point out that the gross mild interval is the thickness between the top of the mound to the base of the mound, whereas the net interval thickness, or the net reservoir thickness, is the thickness between the mound top and the oil-water contact. So in previous West Dickinson Lodgepole Unitization hearings, it had been established that the West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit and Dickinson Lodgepole Unit are in pressure communication, and that connection is below the oil-water contact. We continue to agree with this conclusion, and the cross-section that I'm showing here is just a visual of that. And I'm referring to Exhibit 13 from the NDIC case number 6922, saying the connection between West Dickinson Lodgepole Unit and Dickinson Lodgepole Unit is below the oil-water contact. That's all I have.
And ConocoPhillips has seen nothing in its operation of the two units over these years to contradict the findings that were made at the time of unitization. Is that correct? And Mr. Schwarzkopf is going to testify on some of the reservoir characteristics that confirm that communication between the two mounds. Is that correct?
That's correct. He'll provide the engineering data that supports that interpretation.
Okay. With that, I don't have any further questions of the geologic witness.
Any questions from the staff?
Mountaintop, you're showing I believe what you're trying to depict here in between the Frenzel and the Dickinson Lodge Pole Unit 75 wells. Your mountaintop, the red line, drops down into the V. You're trying to depict the interval between two distinctive mounds?
That is correct.
Would you also be able to provide something along the lines of a structure map that would show how those two mounds, I guess, structure map of the two mounds? Would you be able to provide something like that?
We can provide something like that, and I'd like to say that in previous hearings, in the cases of the West Dickinson and the Dickinson Lodgepole unitization, isopachs and structure maps on top and at the base of these mounds have been previously provided.
And there's been no new drilling since the units were formed. Is that correct?
No new drilling has occurred since then. So that does not change our interpretation of the thicknesses or of the structure of the area.
And we would have no objection including both the unitization files from both units, the West Dickinson Lodge Pole and the Dickinson Lodge Pole, if that would.
That makes the file for this case extremely large. If we could just get the structure maps or something like that from those submitted into this case, I think.
Sure, we can do that.
Satisfy part of the gap in understanding, I guess. But
okay, we'll supplement the record with a structure map, which presumably will be a copy of the structure map that was probably used at the West Texas launch full time.
I think that'd be sufficient for what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Bruce Hicks. I've got a question about the interconnection of the lower zone. You indicated that it's below the oil-water contact, but the two units are in pressure communication in that water leg. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what does the water leg consist of? And I'm talking about, like, the permeability in it. Is it, if you inject in the Dickinson field, would you expect a fairly quick pressure communication in and under the West Dickinson field?
Yes, we do. Sergey, our reservoir engineering witness, has some pressure transient data that he will be presenting. But just to answer the question about permeability, our tests and our permeability testing have shown that the average permeability in these mounds is between 5 to 2,000 millidarcies. And that's on average. It's highly variable, especially because of the phase changes within the mound.
Okay, but you're also seeing that in that water leg below the oil-water contact, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Schwarzkopf, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sergey, would you state your name, tell us by whom you're employed, in what capacity, and give us your business address, please.
My name is Sergey Kostov. I'm a reservoir engineer with ConocoPhillips. Business address is 600 North Perry Ashford Road, Houston, Texas, 77079.
And, Sergey, you previously testified for the commission as an expert witness in the engineering matters. Had your qualifications accepted, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you prepared some reservoir engineering exhibits you're going to sponsor today?
Yes, I do.
Offer the further testimony of this witness as an expert?
Motion granted.
Sir, let's go to Exhibit 3 and summarize what you've shown on Exhibit 3, please.
Exhibit 3 provides information on pressure communication between Red Dickinson Lodgepole Unit and Dickinson Lodgepole Unit. The information is summarized in two sections. It's facts and conclusions. We start with facts on original reservoir pressure and reservoir pressure dynamics. Then original reservoir pressure, Dickinson large pole unit was 3,536 PSI, and production from Dickinson large pole unit started on February 1993. Reservoir pressure in the first well drilled in West Dickinson large pole unit, which is Karski 35-2, in November 1995 was 3,581 PSI. And there was no production from West Dickinson large pole unit prior to November 1995. And reservoir pressure in Dickinson large pole unit in the same time period was in the range of 3,550 PSI to 3,590 PSI, which matches West Dickinson large pole unit reservoir pressure at this time. On reservoir pressure dynamics, multiple approximately simultaneous reservoir pressure measurements in both units were conducted during the time, specified time period, and all of the pressure measurements were within 5 PSI on average. And during the specified time period, there was active production from each of the units and injection in Dickinson large pole unit. There was several interference tests conducted between Dickinson large pole unit and West Dickinson large pole unit, and on second item there is a brief summary of the results. Pressure transient response between typical large pole wells within the unit is seen within a minute, while pressure communication between West Dickinson large pole unit and Dickinson large pole unit is seen in 1.5 and 2 hours. The third item provides facts on West Dickinson large pole unit reservoir pressure support with injection in Dickinson large pole unit well. Reservoir pressure in West Dickinson large pole unit increased during the period from February 97 to December 97. During this time period, there was no injection in West Dickinson large pole unit, and water was injected only in Dickinson large pole unit well. Reservoir pressure in West Dickinson large pole unit and Dickinson large pole unit stayed the same during this time period. And West Dickinson large pole unit pressure increased despite having no injection in Dickinson large, in West Dickinson large pole unit. The table summarized production, injection, and pressure during the time period for both units. Given the fact, the following conclusions can be made. West Dickinson large pole unit and Dickinson large pole unit are in pressure communication. Connection between these two units have lower permeability than typical large pole reservoir and aquifer rock. And pressure connection between West Dickinson large pole unit and Dickinson large pole unit is sufficient to support West Dickinson large pole unit liquid production with rates up to at least 2,582 barrels per day with injection into Dickinson large pole unit well.
And so okay, Sergey, your table that you're showing in kind of the middle, I mean, basically the conclusion there is that in that 10-month period from February to December of 1997, your pressure in West Dickinson Lodge Pole increased by 198 PSIG, even though there was no injection in West Dickinson. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that compares to the 203 PSIG increase in Dickinson, so it's almost identical to what you saw in Dickinson, correct?
That's correct.
Let's go on to Exhibit 4 and tell us what you're showing on Exhibit 4.
Exhibit 4 shows historical production and injection rates and projected production, injection rates, and pressures for West Dickinson large pole unit and Dickinson large pole unit. The upper table contains information on West Dickinson large pole unit and Dickinson large pole unit average production injection rate in 2013 prior Karski 35-2 failure. And in 2013, Karski 35-2 was diagnosed with oval 2.5-inch casing at depth about 5,013 feet. And this problem prevented further operation in the well, and well had to be abandoned in 2014. The second table shows a summary of production injection rates in most recent year, 2015. Dickinson Large Pole Unit production during the period from 2013 to 2015 are reduced due to natural decline, where Dickinson Large Pole Unit production reduction is due to reduced injection into large pole reservoir after Karski 35 to failure. And keeping combined West Dickinson Large Pole Unit and Dickinson Large Pole Unit voidage replacement ratio of 1. There was no production or wellhead pressure decline observed on West Dickinson Large Pole Unit well in 2015 due to the fact that we were maintaining combined West Dickinson Large Pole Unit and Dickinson Large Pole Unit voidage replacement ratio of 1. Going forward, we expect no immediate production rate, liquid production rate changes for the unit. We plan to inject 100% of West Dickinson Large Pole Unit and Dickinson Large Pole Unit produced water into either Dickinson Large Pole Unit 79 or Dickinson Large Pole Unit 83 injection wells, and anticipated injection rate on either of these wells is about 2,000 barrels a day, with gradual increase proportional to water cut. For the wells where we are going to inject the West Dickinson Large Pole Unit produced water, expected wellhead pressure is 600 psi, which corresponds to estimated bottom hole pressure of 5,500 psi. Estimated frac pressure or confinement zone is 6,800 psi. So with proposed production and injection rates, we can carry on effective West Dickinson Large Pole Unit pressure support program with injection into Dickinson Large Pole Unit. That's all I have.
Sergey, is it your opinion then that continued injection of water into the Dickinson Large Pole Unit will continue to provide pressure support for operations in the West Dickinson Large Pole Unit?
Yes, that's correct.
And allowing the ConocoPhillips request in this case will continue to protect relative rights and prevent waste and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells, is that correct?
Yes, Dave.
I don't have any further questions. We offer the exhibits.
The exhibits will be received. Are there questions from the staff?
So, yeah, this is Bruce Six. Looking at your exhibit 4, you indicated the two injection wells that would be used. Are both of those wells injecting below the oil-water contact?
Yes, that's correct. And the plan is not to inject in both of them. We will select one of the wells to inject West Dickinson Large Pole Unit water.
John, what exactly are you wanting the commission to approve? Is it that we accept the fact that there's communication between the two with the water leg?
And that injection and pressure support to a Dickinson Large Pole constitutes pressure support and enhanced recovery operations in the West Dickinson Lodge.
Okay. And would you anticipate just reporting all water production under the Dickinson unit, or is it your intent to allocate a certain portion to the West Dickinson unit?
Water production or water injection?
I'm sorry, water injection.
Sergey, do you...
The plan is to report, we are going to inject water into Dickinson Large Pole Unit, and it was reported as 100% injection to Dickinson Large Pole Unit.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that will conclude our hearing for case number 25027.